Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you. Into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Hour from now, John McClain will join us. He's brought to you by hornsolutions.net. Big congrats to Paul in... Come on, type it, Ben. Type it. Oh, Magnolia. Ben's typing in the rundown. I'm like, I'm on the edge of my seat to find out where Paul lives that won, won the Whiskey Talk tickets. Paul, this is no disrespect to you. I know I sound like I'm chuckling. It's because Ben is keeping me on the edge of my seat. Magnolia, you said, Ben? Okay, that's a long drive in. Paul, if you make it, you are a true diehard fan. It'll be worth the trip, I promise.
I'm keen to hear city and town names right now, Sean, because I've been working with the kid on learning the state capitals, which I realized now I never actually did. Frankfort, Kentucky? Are you kidding me? I didn't have a clue.
Really?
That's the stupidest state capital I've ever heard.
Aren't states and capitals like a late elementary school kind of thing that you got to memorize?
We actually learned how to think at my school. Sean.
Oh, okay. No, memorization. We just memorized stuff so we could get ready for the... We got hammered on standardized testing and memorizing stuff.
Yeah. No, we didn't. I was lucky. I went to a school where they were kind of like anti-memorization.
Okay.
They wanted you to... I never had to do a lot of the stuff that... that's just a good public school. It wasn't some fancy no grade school or anything like that.
I was a public school kid too.
Yeah.
So, all right. Jeff Bagwell. I think Jeff Bagwell was the star of the show yesterday at the Jose Abreu press conference. Jeff Bagwell, who clearly has Jim Crane's ear on a lot of matters.
As somebody once said during the playoffs, and I'm blanking on her name right now, and I feel bad because she's a comedian who's a big Houston sports fan. But she said that there was a picture of Bagwell, and she had said that Jeff Bagwell looks like a musician who invented a music app and became a billionaire because of it. And that's exactly what he looks like.
He's, either be Jenny Johnson or
yes,
Diane Gallagher.
One it's of Jenny those Johnson. Jenny. Or was it Diane Gallagher?
I think it was Diane Gallagher.
Was
yeah.
it Diane Gallagher that
I think
said
so,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like a billionaire who had invented a music app, you know, that taught you, like, that did something musical on your phone. He looks like a wealthy musician. Like
he does.
Keith Richards type, you
yep,
know?
Yep, got the goatee going still.
A little burlier than Keith Richards.
A little burlier. A little bit.
Yeah.
So Bagwell was asked yesterday if he thought that the Astros, if things had skewed too far in the direction of analytics with the Houston Astros.
Personally, for me, yes. I just think that there are certain things that go on that the numbers can't explain. Because this game is played by humans, man. It's not played by computers. And there's a lot of things that go on. You know, stuff that's in those doors over there or on the field. There's stuff that goes on at home. A lot of things that can happen throughout a year that mean something. And, you know, it affects players in certain ways. And being able to know that and being able to, that's what Dusty does so great is he knows his players so well on and off the field, which makes it a lot easier for him to manage because he has the communication with the guys and understands.
And it was a little bit, you know, there's some confusion on, like, okay, was he talking about the Astros specifically or not? Because the Astros weren't referenced necessarily, or James Click wasn't referenced there. The way it was reported, there are a couple of quotes like this from Bagwell. It was reported like Bagwell was taking a shot specifically at James Click, whereas James Click was a guy that actually made it a little bit less analytical than when Jeff Luhnow was there. So I don't think it needs to be framed that way. I think it's fair enough to say, though, that, yeah, Bagwell thinks that with hitters, at least, that there's sometimes too much of it, and guys are focused too much on too many things all at once. is what he said about, okay, there's sometimes things going on at home that affect guys. I don't quite understand how that's inconsistent with using an analytical approach. Like, knowing, observing what's going on and that a player is doing things differently or might be able to tweak his technique doesn't, that's a whole separate topic from, you know, whatever might be going on in his personal life that might be causing it. And I think maybe without, Bagwell's not saying do away with it entirely. I think what he's trying to say is that, like, you got to look at the whole picture, you know, and you got to be able to have, people to say, like, okay, look, he was struggling with this, or his plate discipline was off, but what was going on with his plate discipline aside from his actual, you know, vision and his approach at the plate, you know, what was going on elsewhere? That's where I got, like, Bagwell can be, I think, a big asset, but it doesn't, I get nervous when people start criticizing analytics, athletes and players and coaches especially, when I'm not quite certain they completely understand analytics.
I think you can summarize Bagwell's worldview of baseball very, very simply. The game is played by human beings, not computers.
Right.
And human beings have problems at home, and there's emotional things that affect them, and chemistry.
I'm like, okay, all right, if you're a race car driver, are you like, hey, that race car driver's got problems at homes. Don't worry about the RPMs.
Yeah.
Those sound like numbers. What are you worried? You got all these engineers working on this here race car? Why in the hell would you do that?
Right.
This guy's got a kid that's got a bar mitzvah next week.
I'm trying to figure out exactly
where the human side of it can't be incorporated into the analytical side of it.
Here's another one from Bagwell. Bagwell was asked, is there anything, though, we know where Bagwell stands on analytics. You know, he skews to the side of the human element. He acknowledges analytics, and he was asked, is there any specific part of analytics that you draw from and that you think is a good thing?
I think analytics is great for pitching. I think they can do a lot of things to help pitchers out. Spin rate, different positions in your arms, just different things that they do in pitching I think are great. And we've done a great job of developing pitching. We've done a great job of finding pitching. And then even big league guys that have gotten here have gotten better. So I totally believe in that. The shift is a shift. It's just the product of bad hitting. And guys make adjustments there. But obviously it's going back to the old way pretty much, which is fine. And, you know, hitting basics are just, I mean, I don't think you can reinvent the wheel there. But it certainly does a great job in pitching, and I'm all about that.
All right, real quick, one more from Bagwell, because he was asked to expound upon the hitting part of things. What is it about analytics that you don't think works for hitters?
I just get afraid that hitters get too much information. If you ask any hitter when they're going good, what are you thinking about? Their first answer is nothing. I don't want them thinking about 10 things when they're at home plate, because they got to face that guy in front of them, and they got 8 dudes that can catch the ball even if you do it right. So I'm trying to dumb it down as much as possible.
Yeah, I think that's where I disagree with Bagwell in terms of what he says about other hitters, because I hear current great hitters talk quite a bit about stuff like this. I'm not concerned at all that somehow Bagwell's going to become GM and, like, do away with the analytics staff or anything like that. I think that Jim Crane is a guy that in his life probably has lots of people working for him who he only partly agrees with. And I think that he probably feels that with Bagwell, between his background, obviously, and his playing ability and everything else, has some really, really good input. And more importantly and critically, I think, can be the counterbalance to the extremely nerdy side of
yes.
things. Like, there are probably people in the Astros organization that are way too nerdy and, like, break it down to way too many numbers, like, irrationally so. And then there are people like Bagwell. And I think a good owner, a good CEO, a good manager knows how to balance all of that input, and it's good to see things from a different perspective. So I think that Bagwell, because he is who he is going to have – I think the things he says publicly are going to be interpreted as almost like the voice of the organization, and I don't think that that's 100% true.
Yeah.
I think he's out there on the fringe side of the spectrum of what Astros employees and executives feel.
This is my feeling on analytics. Like, when I hear Bagwell talk about the effect on pitching, the effect on hitters specifically, and they don't need to be thinking about anything. When I think of analytics, Seth, I think of decisions that are made above the level of the guys on the field. I think of decisions that are made in roster construction, in in-game decisions of who to use in certain situations.
Yeah.
Not that you're flooding a hitter with analytic information as he's walking into the batter's box. Dusty Baker is using analytics to decide, should I bat this guy behind this guy? Should I pinch hit here? That kind of thing. You know?
And a lot of it with batters, I think what a lot of it is good for is when a guy is actually hitting pretty well but having bad luck, it lets you know that, hey, look, you're on the right track, man.
Right.
Like Kyle Tucker at various times, like, look, you're actually doing the right things. Don't try to tweak anything. Don't try to change anything. We've got the proof for you right here. Here's a spreadsheet. You know what it says?
Yeah.
It says you've had bad luck, my friend.
Yeah.
And just keep doing what you're doing. So I like everything with here too. There's a spectrum. I agree with a lot of what Bagwell's saying, but I also think that, and it's like this in basketball with the analytics, because that's another analytics heavy sport. Some players really thrive using it. Other players don't want to know anything about it at all. Some players do well when they hear a garbage can thump. Others don't want it at all. It's just Joey Votto. Like, listen to Joey Votto talk about this kind of stuff. And going back to he's a more analytically minded baseball player than, and by that, I don't mean the actual numbers. I'm thinking about like just how he's built. Like, he's going to hyper focus on various things.
Yep.
Than Jeff Bagwell was, you know? And, you know, like maybe Ted Williams. I think if Ted Williams were alive today, he would probably figure out a way to use a lot of the technological tools to his benefit. Not all of them. So that's where it's good to have Bagwell who can identify the guys that maybe everybody needs to back off on a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like, listen, dude. This guy's having a rough time. You guys just gave him 10 bits of information, and he can't absorb all of that. What he needs to do is move his left foot in 1 inch, and let's see how that works out.
Yep.
You know, like, stop flooding this guy because he can't handle it.
Yeah, I like that. Bagwell was asked, do you want a larger role or the GM job with the Astros?
I want to do whatever Jim needs me to do. You know, I'm not pushing myself to do anything. I know I'm involved. I know I enjoy talking the game of baseball, and I certainly enjoy talking about us and how we can get better.
If Jim asked you to be the GM, you wouldn't want to do that?
I have no idea. That's not really a thought of mine right now. We got enough stuff going on right now. Things are working okay right now, so we'll figure that out when it's time.
Would you interview?
No, I would not interview.
Okay. Would you interview? No, I would not interview.
I don't do interviews. They just offer me jobs. Yeah, you think Leo Caprio auditions? Hell no.
No.
I'm not going to interview.
That's right.
I'm just going to walk in and take that job whenever I feel like
give me $20 million and I'm doing Titanic, baby. Hopefully not Titanic.
I don't think Bagwell has one part of him that wants to be a general manager.
I don't either. I think he has what he wants, which is influence. I think he's got influence. I think he feels invested in the Astros.
Yeah.
And I think he clearly has influence. There's no question. I think his fingerprints, I think, are on the Jose Abreu signing for sure. And I think the people that are nervous about the price tag for Abreu really feel like Bagwell's fingerprints are on it. Look, he was part of the recruiting trip to go sign Jose Abreu. Bagwell was very involved. I think the concerns that I've heard about Bagwell's involvement, and generally the concerns that I've heard about this era that we're in right now with the Astros, where it's kind of Jim Crane as the owner / GM, is that, okay, well, there sure is a lot of spending going on. Not a lot, but the first two signings they've made, the retention of Rafael Montero and the signing of Jose Abreu, are perceived by some folks to be, Montero for sure and Abreu probably, to be salaries that are over market. You know, like, yeah. Would these have been acquisitions or signings that Jeff Luhnow, James Click for sure wouldn't have done these moves. I think Luhnow ultimately probably would have, especially if Crane really wanted them badly enough. But I think that's the concern that people have had, is not so much the players, because people love Montero and people love Abreu. They're good acquisitions. It's the price tag. Here's my take on that, Seth. If Jim Crane's fine with spending the money, and all of a sudden we don't enter some period 3 years from now where Jim Crane is being cheap, then let's go.
Right, right. Well, and I think that part of it, too, is I think perhaps the age element, spending that much money or what you perceive to be an overpay on guys who are older, especially with Abreu.
Yeah.
Montero's going to be 33 this year. Abreu is several years older than that, turning 36. So I think there's that, too. And I think my take on that part of it is I think that Jim Crane is doing exactly what he should be doing. If his philosophy is to not dole out 10-year contracts, he's taken a guy like Abreu, and instead of giving him a 10-year contract when he's 28 years old, he's just grabbing him at the age of 36 and saying, yeah, okay, it's worth it now. And instead of hoping that a guy is good in years 7, 8, 9, and 10 of a 10-year contract and paying him anyway, he's going to say, all right, these guys are good. I think the Astros have been aggressive in their load management. And that's another thing that I don't know. I'm sure Bagwell is opposed to load management too. Can you remember on a broadcast or not whether he is opposed to load management? I think they probably feel like, and they, you know what? That's another thing. You're right about the analytics, how a lot of times most of it's done without the player even being conscious of it.
Right.
So like the load management, that doesn't put anything in a player's brain other than that. You remember Bagwell told that story. Who was it? He was in the middle of a rough stretch, like a really bad stretch at the plate. And he was Bagwell was in the middle of a really he was in the middle of a real rough stretch, and he was slumping, and they wanted him to take a break, and he was just flat out opposed to it. It was Phil Garner. Phil Garner told the story. So basically, like, we'll have to dig up the story. Phil Garner basically, waited to tell him until, right before the game so Bagwell wouldn't have any time to object to it. And Bagwell flipped the hell out because Bagwell is old school and he wanted to be out there, you know. So it sounded like Garner was getting ready for a fist fight to inform Bagwell that he wasn't going to play that night. And I could totally see him being opposed to load management.
I feel like anybody born before the year, 1970, definitely opposed to load management. Any athlete born before 1970, absolutely opposed to load management. Bagwell fits into that category. Jim Crane was asked at the Jose Abreu press conference yesterday, what's left to do? Are you guys done yet?
We've got a few more holes. I would say we've got to look at the catching and maybe another outfielder. And, you know, you never have enough pitching. So I think those are the spots that are fairly obvious.
Do you expect to stay under the CBT this year?
Don't know. We'll see where it ends.
All right, so
we certainly have the ability to go to it and over it if we want to.
Sorry, Jim. Yeah, that's good news. They're ready to go over the luxury tax. This is not the first time he said we'll go over the CBT. I will say this is the first time where it feels like, especially they want to bring back Verlander, where they might definitely go over the CBT. Like, if they bring Verlander back and they want to make another acquisition at one of those other positions he was talking about, they're in the luxury tax territory.
I think the interesting thing will be, if they're spending this money now, they're still, I don't think some people realize how young the pitching staff is. They're still well within the envelope of these guys still being in arbitration before Abreu's contract is up.
Yep.
So that's not going to be a consideration with the Montero or Abreu signings. And I wonder, how much of that has to do with maybe they are planning on playing it a little closer to the wire with some of the free agents. Because with Bregman, boy, Bregman's a tricky one. You paid him. It was worth it like crazy that first year. But then it wouldn't have been worth it until the second half of this season when they gave him that extension early on. We'll see how it plays out with Yordan, obviously, and I'm optimistic that it will work out well. But I think that it's not like Jim Crane's going into this blind and spending like a drunken sailor on leave.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.